On this edition from the Cheap Seats, Ryan Wallace and myself will talk about volleyball, field hockey, men and women's cross country, and we have an exclusive interview with middle blocker Melanie Meister, senior on the University of Iowa women's volleyball team. This is all coming up on this edition of From the Cheap Seats. I'm your host, Will Marshall, alongside Ryan Wallace. Get ready for an hour of packed sports entertainment.
People, are you ready?
Welcome, Iowa City, to the second edition of From the Cheap Seats. Alongside Ryan Wallace, I'm Will Marchineau. We had a very big weekend.
We did. Big weekend for small sports. Big week for classes. How did your first week of classes go?
First week of classes went all right. Yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just settling in. Not too much homework yet, but Lord knows it's coming.
I had a quiz, and I don't know how well it went.
We'll find out, huh?
All right, well, we're going to get into it.
Let's get into it.
We have some volleyball stuff to talk about. We also have a little bit of a baseball signing. A former baseball player signed with the Texas Rangers. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk a little field hockey. We'll give you some updates on field hockey and soccer. And we also have an exclusive interview with senior middle blocker Melanie Meister.
That's right. I feel like we should have a soundbite there. Exclusive.
Well, we should, but we don't.
No, we don't. So, we're not that good.
But we do have the interview.
We do.
And we'll get to that in a bit as well. But if you do have any opinions, insights, things you want to us to ponder for you.
Yeah. Or if you have any beefs with us and our opinions and you think otherwise.
Yeah, email us.
Yeah, that's right.
From the Cheap Seats, all one word, fromthecheapseats@gmail.com.
That's right. We're waiting to hear from you guys. We'll read your emails on air if we have good topics on those. So
yeah, we will. And then we'll proceed to answer them to the best of our capability.
That's right.
So also, if you'd like to visit our website, learn even more about our interests and what the show is all about, please visit our website at krucicheapseats.blogspot.com.
That's BLOGSPOT, blogspot, in the middle.
That's right.
Check that out.
Yep. And Ryan, we attended the volleyball game.
That's right.
On Saturday night, and they played Iowa State.
That's right. Part of a record crowd at Carver Hawkeye Arena for football, for volleyball game.
Yes, a record crowd in attendance at what they are calling North Carver Hawkeye Arena.
That's correct.
Because they cut off the south side of the basketball.
That's right. Court. I like the new atmosphere. For those of you who regularly attend basketball games, you know the direction in which the court normally faces. What they do is they're playing the half width of that, and they're more or less got screens that fill the half court line, and so you're only on one half. But I like the environment that it creates.
Yeah, the crowd is more has a bigger impact on the game.
That's right.
And although we couldn't help pull the team through.
That's right.
Saturday night's game, they did end up winning their first two matches against Drake Friday night and then Chicago State early Saturday morning.
That's right, that's right. Friday night, we had Drake won that 3-0. They had a little hiccup at the beginning. In game one, we had 14 kills versus 12 errors. So that was only a percentage of 0.049. For the remaining two games, though, they had 31 kills against, again, 12 errors. So the last two games they did as good as the first for a 243 average. And 802 people attending that game, so a decent-sized crowd for that one. So they had 8 serve aces in that game, too. So
wow.
Once they got it under control, they took over and beat Drake rather handedly. I mean, it wasn't a giveaway, but a solid win, 3-0.
And we do have, we did mention last week that the average attendance last year collectively was 577.
Yeah. So our goal this year is to give as much publicity to keep it above that mark. We want to set a new, get that average attendance up this year.
That's right. And we've done so.
We've done so for the first weekend.
For the first weekend.
That's right.
This upcoming weekend, the volleyball team will not be at Carver. They will be in Creighton in Nebraska at the Creighton Invitational, where they will take on North Dakota State, Jacksonville State, and Creighton. So it should be interesting as to how that outcome happens. But let's talk a little bit about what we thought, how we thought the Iowa State game went. Obviously, not very happy with the outcome, Ryan, but what do you think were some key components to that game?
I really can't figure it out. I mean, all signs pointed to the fact that we haven't gone over the Chicago State game. They also went 3-0 there. They were running on all cylinders in that game. For the game, they had 46 kills versus only 9 errors, so that was a 425 percentage. They had 10.5 team blocks versus only 1 for Chicago State, and they had 24 forced errors for Chicago State. Record attendance for that one as well at 89.
The record low.
Yeah, 10 a.m. game, so there wasn't that many people there. So those first two games, they really had the ball rolling, and then come into Iowa State, and they got the first two games there, the first two games of the match, and it appeared when they went into the locker room that they were going to come back, take the last game, wrap it up for 3-0 on the season. But Iowa State made some incredible adjustments. They started to focus their blockers, and they gave a lot more attention to Katie Jessen.
Yeah, and she was the outside hitter for the Iowa State ball club, originally from Kansas City, Missouri. Katie came to play.
She did.
After halftime, the coaches really fired her up. She had 1 kill against Chicago State.
That's right. 1 kill in the Chicago State game. Her percentages weren't even that great for those first two games. She had 7 kills against Drake. She had a decent percentage at 412 there, but she didn't have that many attacks. Then coming to Iowa, I believe she only had less than 10 kills going into the break. She ends the game with 25 kills at a 276 clip. So they decided to put a lot of focus on her, and wow, it really turned out well for them.
Yeah, we were joking in the stands at the game with the people we were sitting next to about how if there was a volleyball game made by EA Sports,
that's right,
she would be the game breaker.
She would have. She would have been there.
She's an impact player.
She would have. She would have had the high composure rating, all those things. Yeah. She definitely came to play, that's for sure. And it definitely appeared as though, watching the game, that maybe she was the only player they had, especially in those when they were starting to take over the game, that, oh, this is all they have and that's the only thing. But you look back at the stats for against Chicago State and Drake, they were incredibly diverse as far as who got kills and where they came from. So they definitely spread everything out throughout those other games, and they decided it in the latter portion of the game against Iowa that, okay, we need to put some focus, and this is what's working with us. Let's continue to go with that. And it ended up getting her tournament MVP.
At the same time, I'm not gonna come and make a statement, but the Iowa State coaching staff could possibly have decided not to use her as much in their early games.
It's possible, but
we obviously didn't see that game.
That's right.
But it's possible that they could have not used her as much, called her number, obviously, and well, quite frankly, she came up huge against Iowa.
Yeah, definitely came up huge.
So, once again, Iowa loses the first matchup in the Cy-Hawk Trophy Series, and the matchup comes at the volleyball spectrum. They lose against Iowa State 3-2, the first game being scored Iowa 30, Iowa State 28. The second game being scored Iowa 30, Iowa State 26. A 10-minute break. And I really think in the third game, Iowa lost 30-25 to Iowa State. That's when I felt like all of the momentum and the composure that Iowa had built up in the two games, the two matches prior, and then the two games against Iowa State before halftime, that all just went out the window.
Yeah, I definitely think there was a turning point definitely in the match at that point. Sitting in the stands, it was kind of eerie because it felt as though the Iowa players lost all composure. They just got the wind knocked out of them. They didn't know what was going on. Like, we should have won this game. Why aren't we wrapping it up? And it wasn't really that out of hand. I mean, we only lost that third game, 30-25. So we were in it. We could have come back, won it, and it would have been a great cap to the match. But it seemed like they lost it, and they just didn't have that extra effort and put it up over the hump and get the win. And they continued to struggle then again in the fourth and fifth fifth games.
Yeah, and it was obvious because the fourth game, Iowa proceeded to lose 22-30, and then in the fifth game, 15-5.
That's right. So they definitely, it went downhill from there. I believe they had a negative percentage in the final game, attacks versus errors. So
yeah,
it definitely went downhill from that third game. It felt like there was that turning point where you have to ask yourself as a team, let's do this.
Right.
Let's pull our heads together. Let's go out and get this done.
And it just seems like they didn't do it. To come.
That's right.
Forward, and provide the leadership. What are your assessments on the freshmen? The two-time Gatorade Player of the Year, the only athlete ever in the state of Iowa to win the Gatorade Player of the Year twice. What is your assessment? On Alicia Johnson.
Potential. Extreme potential there. There's a lot of potential there. I think she is going to be one of the stars on the Iowa volleyball team. But it's not yet. She has the skill. She has the talent. But it's a matter of pulling all together those little things that freshmen are have a tough time with. I mean, there's the adjustment period. It's Division I volleyball, so you got to get used to that. So, not that she played horrible either. She didn't do horrible, but with her talent level and potential, she can perform better.
Now, on a side note, Christina Meister, Melanie Meister's little sister, is a freshman on the team this year, scholarship player as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to see because Ryan and I both went to high school with Melanie. I've gone to school with Melanie since we were in second grade together. Her family at the game last night, and then I didn't even know that Christina had signed with Iowa. And then to see her on the sidelines last night, that's just a really good story.
Yep, she got some limited action in the Chicago State game. I believe she had 4 assists, so
yep.
She got a little playing time. She will see incredibly limited playing time this year, but, you know. She's a freshman. She'll have that learning experience, and she gets the tutelage of her older sister, so
yep.
Who knows if they have that kind of relationship where it'll be able to work out like that. We'll find out throughout the remainder of the season, but she's definitely in a good situation, being with family, close to family, and being able to learn in that environment.
Yep, definitely. And I like the way Cindy has taken this team. They were all business those first two matches.
That's
against
right.
Drake and Chicago State. They were very businesslike in the first two games against Iowa State. And I guess we talk about this in a negative impact, like, well, they lost the match. But the first two games were very, very good, high-quality games. And I just think they really got drained emotionally after they lost that third game to Iowa State.
Yeah, and you could definitely, I could not agree more. The emotion definitely came out of Carver. Those first two games, the record crowd was pumped up. There was a lot of excitement going on. The fans, especially the students, were really into it. And it seemed like the students tried to pull them out of that rut when they got their heads down late, and they just couldn't do it. But yeah, they were definitely on top of their game. Those first two games, they were really on top of it, and
yep.
something happened emotionally. I think I don't think skill wise anything changed. I don't think we were underachieving it by any means. With our performance, it just seemed a mental thing.
Right, and once again, the attendance at Carver Hawkeye Arena was 1690. Record-setting attendance for the 7 o'clock evening matchup against Iowa State. Once again, if you didn't catch that game, please go. Not this upcoming weekend, because they'll be at the Creighton Invitational in Nebraska, but next weekend they host another Hawkeye tournament. I believe the Hawkeye Invitational.
It's the Holiday Inn Invitational?
The Holiday Inn Invitational.
Something to that effect.
I know for sure they play Tulane. Great atmosphere at Carver Hawkeye.
Oh, awesome.
Get
atmosphere.
More people in the stands. This is a team that could potentially vie for top 3 or 4 spots in the Big Ten.
That's right. And if they make a run at it, they could definitely make a push for that Big Ten title. It'll take a pretty hefty run for them because they have some formidable opponents in the Big Ten. But
Penn State, no.
If they have a decent season, put together a nice run, it's possible. It's not out of their reach, that's for
and
sure.
And everyone should mark on the schedule, on their calendar, their big calendar at home that they nail up on their wall in the dorm room. Put it on your phone so you get a little text from your phone. The day of the Penn State match, because we need everybody out there.
That's right.
That should be a date that's circled by the student body, because Penn State's a perennial top number one team in the country.
That's right.
This would be an amazing game to go watch. I mean, it's rally scoring, so it's not scored that you have to score. And the only way you can score is on a serve. It's a point for everything.
That's right. It's incredible. If you're judging volleyball by what you saw in high school, we're talking a whole different game here.
Yeah.
You definitely need to come out and see it, and especially to people who aren't even really into athletics. Because it's not like football or even basketball. Basketball is considered to be one of the highest paced sports that you can watch or attend. And I would even consider this to be even maybe higher paced than that. It's just nonstop action.
It's only
action.
10 minute halftime.
That's right. And I mean, there's very few breaks. It's just continual action.
And it's great. And I had an amazing experience there. There's a student body there that goes out and supports the team every home game. And if you'd like to know the schedule, you can't get a hold of one for whatever reason, you can go to the IMU, get a schedule. You can visit HawkeyeSports.com. You can get the schedule off there. Or you can email us, and we'll get you the schedule.
Yeah, that's right.
Email us at FromTheCheapSeats, all one word, at gmail.com.
That's right. We can carpool if you want. If you need a ride or something, let us know. We need to get some more people out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could both drive. That means we could fit approximately, I would say, probably about 6 to 8 more people.
That's
with
right.
us. So, you know.
It's a ride.
On. Yeah, come on in. Email us at FromTheCheapSeats@gmail.com if you need a ride, want to know the schedule, send us an email, drop us a line. Well, if it's good stuff, we'll read your email on air.
That's right. That's right. So overall, I thought it was getting back to the volleyball match. I think it was a good weekend for them to come out 2-1. Obviously, they would have liked to start out the gate 3-0, but 2-1, I think, is an incredibly good weekend for them. And especially from the standpoint, that's a good learning experience. There's no way you can't come off of that and know, all right, you know, this was a point where we could have turned it around and we could have definitely sealed the deal. And for some reason, they weren't able to do that. But they can take that as a learning experience and be able to do that next time.
Now, what's taken from the learning experience then being implemented next week will be another story.
That's right.
You've got to take the fact that you lost mental capacity of the game, that you lost the mental aspect after halftime, and you have to be able to make sure and make a note that you come out strong after halftime in all of your games, no matter who your opponent is.
That's right, and we say I do have some evidence to prove that it is a mental thing, because you look at the stats, and to be honest, they're rather equal. We don't have any more errors than Iowa State had in that game. The kills were rather even. I mean, statistically, the game was even. The only thing that shows the difference in winner or loser is the final score. So, I mean, it really appears to be a major from the mental side. So,
easily. And, but overall, great weekend.
Yes, yes.
We'll get
nothing
to
but kudos.
Right. And we'll get to that exclusive interview here in just a bit. But real quick, before we start talking to Melanie, let's discuss here. Yesterday, Iowa beat South Carolina 1-0 in women's soccer. Melissa Cater Henry with the goal in the 56th minute. So Iowa goes on the road to South Carolina and gets a W.
That's right. That was an incredible W for them. I can't remember the shots on goal.
Five
for us. And what did they have? Like 43?
Something.
They had I don't know. Yeah. They had an ungodly number compared to us, though. And I know we had 6 saves in that game. So an amazing victory for them. That's a big victory to pull out coming out of that weekend. They did, in their earlier match, lose 2-0 against Missouri. We had 0 goals on 11 shots. Missouri 2 goals on 17 shots. Senior Allie Becker, the transfer, as her first game, played all 90 minutes of that game and had 6 saves. So,
all right.
A decent start to the weekend. We didn't get blown away by any stretch of the imagination in that first game, and then pulling off the close 1-0 victory in that second game.
Field hockey?
Field hockey,
another story.
But that's a whole other level, because you're playing Wake Forest, the number two team in the nation.
And they lost 6-0.
That's right.
In the first matchup of the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
That's right.
I'm sure it's been posted by now, but when I came into the studio, it was not posted. What the score of the UNC-Iowa game
was.
Yeah,
we weren't able to get the update on that one before the show started. But
so I'm sure we'll know, obviously, by next week.
That's right. But it's a tough... We knew going in that was going to be a tough weekend for them, and to get even a victory in that weekend was going to be huge. Wake Forest and UNC are formidable opponents coming out of the ACC, so they drew a tough schedule there with those two.
Oh, they did.
Wake Forest scored within the first 14 seconds of that game, so they came out and set the tempo. It was only 2-0 at halftime, so we had the outside shot, and then they just took over. So Wake Forest had 20 shots on goal in that game,
wow.
And we had two. So it was just,
total domination.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but yes, it was.
I'll say it.
But you can't really blame them for them being, even though we're the number 12 team in the nation, you cannot blame them for coming up against. I mean, it's still, even though we're both top 25 teams, it's a whole nother level,
but
and you have
hockey,
to bring your game to that level.
But let's be honest with each other. There's not a lot of field hockey teams in the country.
That's right. You go outside the top 25, and you're really getting close. I mean, how many field hockey teams are there in the nation?
No,
I would only have to guess.
Yeah.
I would guess not
only
more than 50.
Could guess.
Yeah.
How many field hockey teams there are that are sponsored athletic teams?
Yes, not club teams.
Not club teams.
That's correct. If you know that answer and you want to prove us wrong, be our stat boy, then you could definitely email
or
us.
Or stat girl.
Or stat girl, yes, why not?
We don't like to be non-Title IX.
Yeah, here. Yeah. So email us at fromthecheapseats@gmail.com if you do have a definitive answer
we
to that question.
We love that a lot. Yeah. Email at us fromthecheapseats@gmail.com.
That's right. We want to hear from you. So, yeah, rough weekend, a rough start at least for both soccer and field hockey. Soccer was able to pull it out with the victory. We'll be able to update you guys later on what ended up happening to field hockey. But a rough weekend overall. But like we said with volleyball, nothing but learning experience, especially when you go up against the number two team in the nation. That's nothing but a learning experience when you come out of those games.
Exactly. So, good luck to the rest of good luck this week to the field hockey and the soccer teams, as well as volleyball. We'll travel to Creighton, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But right now, let's discuss Tim Godeau, former Iowa baseball pitcher. Was a senior last year, graduated, originally drafted by the Chicago Cubs. But signed a deal with the Texas Rangers. Now, the Cubs didn't sign him. Get this. The Cubs did not sign him because they thought he might have shoulder and or elbow problems.
Yeah.
Now, if that's... now, if you're a sports nut, you know that's pretty much the downfall of their pitching staff.
Yeah. At this point, you can point to Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood, being a huge Cub fan that I am, and... Obviously, they want no part of any pitchers from this point on that are going to even remotely lead to a situation that they have with those
two. He had surgery on his elbow, I believe, because he had extended bone growth in it. And that's a big red flag for Chicago Cubs.
That's right.
But the Texas Rangers are going to give him a shot. So Tim Godeau goes to the Texas Rangers. It's a little plug for the Iowa baseball team. Got some players getting drafted. Got some players doing some good things.
Yep.
In the minor league systems right now out of the University of Iowa. And, of course, Jack Dom, the head baseball coach at the
University of Iowa. Love what he's doing.
Former baseball player for Creighton. Played with Scott Servais, who was a catcher in the major leagues.
Yep.
Roomed with Scott Servais.
That's right. Servais had time all over the leagues. He played with the Cubs for a time. Had some decent time playing with the Iowa Cubs, I believe, for a short amount of time. So
yep.
I love the way the whole baseball system is set up where there's no reason not to get anybody a shot.
And who did Jack Dom call to get Tim Godeau a contract?
I'm guessing Scott Servais.
Yeah, he did. Yep. So
yeah, I love the way the baseball system's set up. I mean, the draft is years long. Who knows? I mean, how many rounds are there in the baseball draft?
As you want.
Yeah, it just goes on forever.
If teams stop picking, then if you're the last team picking, then it's one pick around, new round, you pick again.
Yeah, I love that. It just, the baseball system, as far as any other sport, baseball is the easiest to get drafted. You're going to get your draft pick in. You're going to get to the major leagues, quote unquote. But actually getting from a draft pick into the majors, it may be the hardest.
Right.
So it's a tough...
the talent pool is so vast.
Exactly. There's an incredible talent pool. But I love the fact that there is that huge talent pool that, that provides a place for a lot of people to be able to show their talent off and have their chance, their one shot to be able to make it.
And
so
Tim Goodell's getting
getting that shot. So congrats to him and all former Iowa Hawkeye baseball players that are doing their thing in the minor leagues and some in the major leagues.
That's right. So moving on here, right now we're going to do our exclusive interview with Melanie Meister.
That's right.
So why don't we just go ahead and get right into that?
Alrighty.
We're here with Melanie Meister, number 24, senior on the volleyball team at the University of Iowa this year. Melanie, from this weekend, what's your grade assessment overall through the three matches that you guys played?
Well, overall, I think we're going to take a lot away from this tournament. We learned a lot, and we played pretty well. We had our ups and downs, definitely. It would have been nice to get that last match, but... overall, I think we had a pretty good weekend, and we can take a lot away from it.
Based off last year, you guys started out pretty strong and then fell into a losing streak and came back on. Kind of was an up-and-down year. What did you guys take from last year, and what did the players that are returning on from last year's squad do to help the incoming freshmen?
Well, it's really great because the majority of the team from last year is returning, and that's really exciting, and it was really fun in the off season to get to work with everybody who already had a year of playing time under their belt to get to improve the things they needed to improve on, and as a team, I think we got a lot better.
So going back to this weekend's tournament, you guys were really rolling. You did have a little bit of a speed bump at the beginning with Drake. You guys had some unforced errors and et cetera to start, but then those last two games against Drake, all three against Chicago State, and then the first two against Iowa State, and then you kind of hit a road bump. They came out, made some adjustments, and you guys weren't really able to adjust to those. Going back to your experience, how do you think you guys may have been able to apply some of your experience, or was it really some of that freshman mentality that came back and kind of got you there?
I think it's exactly what you said. Iowa State made adjustments, and we didn't do a very good job of adjusting to what they did. You know, we came out really strong against them. We were attacking, we were blocking, we were being pretty effective in everything we were doing. And then, so after they made adjustments, we didn't adjust to what they did. They started tipping a lot more, and we didn't change our defense to pick it up and put those balls away, which we should have done to be more effective.
Was there any part of you guys that had already gone into the locker room and like, oh, we got two games, we're going to start out losing no games, start out 9-0 already with the games this year? Was that in the back of your mind at all?
Oh, I think it was in the back of everybody's mind, you know, really pumped at where we were, because we knew Iowa State was going to be a tough opponent, and we, you know, going into the match, we, of course, our goal was to win in three, and so coming out, but we all knew that they were going to be tough and it could possibly take more than three games. So coming into the locker room, having won the first two was really exciting. You know, we were on the roll, and I think we kind of lost a little bit of focus after that.
Did any of that focus come into play with the size of the crowd? Because it was a record-setting crowd against Iowa State, and it was polar opposites attendance-wise morning and evening on Saturday when it was... like, I think the total attendance was like 84, 89, a Chicago State game, and then 1,690 people showed up for the Iowa State game. Did you guys lose focus a little bit when you looked up into the stands and it's completely packed?
Oh, no. The crowd was amazing. We, I think definitely in the first two games, drew a lot of our strength from the crowd, and we, you know, we had the students on all sides, on every side of us, and they were just cheering and, you know, like, getting in Iowa State's head, which was really fun. And we, as a team, drew a lot of our excitement and a lot of our competitiveness from the crowd's noise. So that was an asset to us.
Okay, now answer this question. A lot of people if they didn't listen to the show last week, they don't know that the three of us went to high school together. And Melanie, you and I grew up together. What is the difference? Tell the listeners what the difference is playing Division I volleyball versus high school volleyball.
Well, high school volleyball, you have a lot of different factors that come into play. You know, anybody can go out for the team. Most coaches want to give everyone out for the team a good experience and, you know, create some sort of equal playing time, as well as be competitive. High school volleyball in the state of Iowa is pretty competitive, and so that's fun. But when you get to the college level, everything, you know, you have the best people from the best teams. High school teams generally have, you know, 1, 2, 3 good players, but college teams have, you know, 6 solid players on the court all the time.
So would you say club volleyball at the high school level prepares you better for college volleyball versus high school, like the actual high school sanctioned volleyball?
Absolutely. Club is necessary if you're going to be at all prepared. And even coming out of the best clubs in the country, freshmen still have a tough time adjusting to college because it's just different. But definitely club is a way better preparation tool than high school.
You started your first 2 years at Cal State Fullerton. Mm-hmm. And you transferred here last year. Just talk about, tell us why you chose the University of Iowa over any other school really in the Midwest.
I chose it for the academics. I'm biology pre-med and I want to go to medical school. And the school I was at before had an excellent biology program, but the pre-med, they didn't have a medical school on campus, and the pre-med program wasn't as strong as it is at Iowa. And coming, I knew I wanted to come home, and Iowa State's a great school, but with the choice and my academic plans, Iowa was the only choice for me.
Tell the listeners what it's like being a volleyball player at the collegiate level and how that affects your academics and what it takes on a weekly basis to go into classes, getting your homework done, and then games on the weekend and what that's all about.
You definitely have to be really dedicated to everything you're going to do. You have to structure your classes so they don't conflict with practice time, and then you have to build time in there to study and prepare. And, you know, it's good because when we're on the road, we have built-in study hours, so you can actually get your stuff done, but you really have to have some sort of personal initiative to get it done and be focused.
Let's go back to, we were talking about the total difference in competition between high school, club, and going on to Division I. What do you think the competition's going to be like for you guys in the Big Ten this season?
The Big Ten's tough. You know, we have several teams in the top 25 and several teams in the top 10. So that's really, it's really exciting to play in a conference that's that challenging. But, you know, going into every weekend, you know you have to be at the top of your game to compete. And that's intense.
Talk about the scheduling, because I know it's an every other weekend thing. You guys are, you switch off home and away every other weekend. Is that hard with school going every other week? You're on the road and you're facing a formidable opponent, because the Big Ten was one of two conferences last year to have 6 teams win 20 plus games.
Yeah, it's a challenge being on the road. Like I said, we have built-in study time, so that helps out a lot. But, you know, we make it a priority on our team to talk to our professors and develop a relationship with them, so they know that we're going to be gone, but we're still going to do our best to get our work done and, you know, do the things we need to do well in class.
Let's stay on the road topic. From your experience, what's the toughest place to go into and play and gives you the toughest home crowd environment?
Ooh, that's a good question. Gosh, I would say Penn State is one of the toughest places to play. They're an amazing volleyball program, and they have been very good, and they are very good. And that alone would be an intimidating place to play, but they have a huge crowd. Their fans are really close to the floor, and the facility that you play in when you go to Penn State is completely centered around volleyball. So it's a great facility, but it can be intimidating when you're going into play.
What's it like to go play the Penn States and Wisconsin was good last year. What's it like to go into those arenas when that school is actually like because in years past, the University of Iowa hasn't fully been behind the volleyball team. And I don't say that in a negative way, but it's just, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it like to go into those schools when you're away and you're already facing a nationally ranked opponent, and then you walk in there, and on an average basis, year in and year out, an average attendance is 1,690 people.
Right. It can be intimidating the first couple of times, but it's also really exciting because those schools respect the sport of volleyball. So even, you know, they come in, you know, with their crowd being competitive and kind of trying to get in your heads, but at the same time, they really respect the game and they really enjoy the game. So that's a fun atmosphere to play in.
Okay, so we have to ask one of these bland questions. What is the team set out for goals in conference and in non-conference play for this year?
Well, we, at the beginning of the season, the beginning of preseason, we went through the teams in the Big Ten who we absolutely knew we were going to beat, who would be a great team to beat and have that in our record, and who would be an amazing team to upset. And so that has been our focus, you know, for the Big Ten. But as far as preseason, our biggest goal was to go undefeated, which obviously is not going to happen now, but we can still, I think we can take a lot away from the game against against Iowa State and use that against the rest of our preseason opponents. And if we come out of preseason losing one game and that's to Iowa State, I think that isn't going to be the worst preseason.
Talk about this upcoming weekend. You guys go to Creighton for the Creighton Invitational, and you guys are scheduled to play North Dakota State, Jacksonville State, and Creighton. Talk about this upcoming weekend, what it means for you guys going in there, and who do you think will be your toughest opponent out of those three?
Well, our toughest opponent will probably be Creighton. I'm not too familiar with the other two schools, but I can tell you that Creighton is a relatively strong program, and they'll probably be our toughest competition. As far as what this weekend means for us, we need to take what we've done this weekend and learn from it, and hopefully apply some of those things to the teams next weekend, and you know, continue to improve and build on what we started to hopefully become stronger.
Okay, now's your chance to ensure that people continue to come to the games. Give us your 45-second plug on why students and people around the Iowa City area should come to University of Iowa volleyball games.
Well, volleyball is an amazing game to watch. It's not boring. You know, there's always something happening. Girls jumping out of the gym to just bang the ball hard on the floor, and that's always exciting. And our atmosphere is amazing. You know, we have these a great student section that we haven't had in the past, and they're into it. The other athletes are there just screaming for us, and it's so fun to play in, and it's really great when we have a lot of fans.
Explain to us what the Wings is about. How do you get involved with that? For students who are catching the program right now, how do you get involved with Wings?
Wings is a program through the residence halls that if you live in the residence halls, you get a Wings card, and I'm not exactly sure if you get that from your RA or you get that at the first game that you go to. I'm not sure, but you get a card, and it's free admission to the games for all students. You just need your student ID. So you come and you tell them that you are a member of the residence halls. You get a Wings card, and at your first game, you get a free water bottle that has the logo of the volleyball Wings, and you have seats right on the court. They're the closest seats you can get. And, you know, we run out of the tunnel and we, like, slap the hands of the Wings, and they're just so into it and they're so much fun. So you get a card, and so the first game you get a water bottle, the second game I think you get a t-shirt, and it's basically an incentive program to get students in the residence halls to come to volleyball games. There's a number of other prizes you get based on your attendance, and then at the end there's a competition for the best wing, the student who shows the most volleyball spirit or whatever, and the reward for that is actually your books paid for the second semester.
Wow.
So
I'm rather upset about this whole program. I need to move back to the residence halls
yeah,
in order to become a member, apparently.
All right, Melanie, thank you for stopping in this afternoon. And good luck with the rest of the season. I'll be out there for sure, because I told you I would. And now you have to follow up and get my poster signed that I picked up, because right. you said through text messages
that the
you would sign, have everyone sign a poster like you did last year. So once again, thank you for stopping out.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, Melanie, thank you once again for coming out for our exclusive interview. Once again, that was Melanie Meister, middle blocker, senior on the University of Iowa women's volleyball team. And those are some interesting things that we discussed there.
That's right, that's right. Thanks again to her for coming out. If you want to be a part of the Wings that we mentioned, you definitely need to give us a shout-out on the email. It's fromthecheapseats @gmail.com. That's all one word. So if you're interested in being a part of that, we will definitely put you in contact with the right people.
That's right. We'll get you hooked up. And if you already know how to get hooked up, then go hook yourself up.
That's right.
What are you waiting for?
Exactly. There's no reason. We've said it one time and time again. There's no reason not to be going to these volleyball games. They're free. They're quick games. We've said it once again. They're incredibly fast-paced. The first two games of that Iowa State match were done in like 40 minutes. So a five-game match can only last 2 hours possibly. So
yeah.
Even the lengthy matches are still relatively quick. So
But they're great, intense matches.
Oh, so. Incredibly intense. So there's no reason not to get out there and support the Hawks.
That's right. So why don't we take a look at what's ahead in the forecast for this upcoming weekend.
All right, what do we got?
Friday, September 1st, Iowa hosts Kent State in field hockey at 3 p.m. Out at Grant Field. And once again, last year the Hawks only lost one game at Grant Field. And they went undefeated the year before. So very good, strong showing every
That's
year
right.
by the field
That's
hockey
right.
team out of Grant Field. It's on Melrose Avenue. Over there, right off of the corner of Melrose and Mormon Trek.
That's right, a little between Mormon Trek and Highway 218. Not too bad of a drive. There's plenty of parking, so definitely get out there and support the field hockey team, too.
Yep, the stadium's over by the University of Iowa Athletics Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Which is newly opened last
That's
year.
Right.
You can go check that out and go check a little bit of the field hockey game out.
That's
as
right.
long as you give the support to the Iowa Athletics, that's great. Also, Friday... the volleyball team, like mentioned before at the beginning of the show and then once again during the interview, and we're going to mention it right now because we love volleyball. They play North Dakota State at Creighton in the Creighton Invitational at 4:30. Saturday brings on a new day and three different games, two of which are not available in your local area. They will be at Creighton. As Iowa takes on Jacksonville State at Creighton at 9:30 in the morning, and then plays the doubleheader, and plays Creighton at 7 o'clock in the evening on Saturday.
Not technically available, unless you want to get out and drive. There's no reason not to.
Nope.
If you want to get out there and support the Hawks, we're not going to stop you.
Here's something you can support, actually. Not really, because nothing's at home on Saturday.
Sorry.
So, well, except the football game, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Men and women's cross country open up their season against Western Illinois at Macomb, Illinois. On Saturday, Western Illinois holds their meet, and Iowa is there. We haven't touched a whole lot on cross country other than they wear cool tattoos, the men do, on their thigh with the Tiger Hawk, symbolizing
right.
their unity as one group.
That's right. What a bonding experience they have.
Yeah, total bond. It's bondage, if you will. Sunday, September 3rd, the women's soccer team is in Lincoln, Nebraska, taking part in the Big Ten, Big 12 Challenge as they take on the University of Nebraska at 1 p.m. So the soccer team 1-1 heading over to Lincoln to take on the Cornhuskers.
That's right. They already have one loss against the Big 12 as they lost to Missouri. They hope to turn that around and get a victory against Nebraska. Hopefully get things turned around in that right direction.
Yep, and it's...
coming off that win from South Carolina.
Yeah. And it's the Big Ten, Big 12 Challenge, so it should be an interesting outcome there. We'll definitely keep you posted on that. Next Monday, we'll give you the score on that and all the lowdown on all these games. We will be giving that to you. And finally, to wrap up, this weekend in athletics and your Labor Day weekend. The field hockey team takes on Duke at 1 p.m. Once again, Duke's field hockey team coming to Grant Field, where the Hawkeyes are formidably very good.
Yep.
So, 1 o'clock, you know, I don't know what to say. Is that a kickoff time? Is that a ball drop time?
I don't know.
Is that face-off time, maybe?
Face-off, maybe. Because it's kind of like hockey, but it's on a field.
But it's on a field. That's why they call it field hockey.
It might be a face-off.
Face-off time starting at 1 p.m. We'll call it that for right now until we get more information on that. Once again, if you have the answer as to what it is to start a game of that sort, please email us at FromTheCheapSeats, all one word, FromTheCheapSeats@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, KRUYCheapSeats.blogspot.com. You don't need www.
No, don't put that in there. It might not work if you do that.
You might go to a different search engine. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not our website.
Yeah. So just forget about that. Yeah, so definitely the home action this weekend, other than football, which you don't need to go see because there's going to be plenty of people there. Get out and support the field hockey.
But see, I guess what we really need to tease, as well as going out and supporting field hockey this weekend, is the weekend after Labor Day weekend as the Hawkeyes travel to Syracuse. Their football team plays Syracuse. We have a huge, huge small sport weekend.
That's right.
And everybody needs to get ready and at least go out to one or two events because these small sports are amazing too, and they have their intricacies. And if you're into sports, you might learn something, and learning is fun.
That's right.
And it's fundamental.
We will definitely be getting to that next week and the huge schedule that will be upcoming. Definitely need to get out and support those teams. Like we've been going over the whole time, most of these events, at least for students, are free or incredibly cheap, so there's no reason not to. You're not going to have to bust your wallet out to go see all these games. I mean, it's easy on the pocket, and they're all incredibly entertaining.
Yep. Let me give you a quick rundown. The opponents are listed on HawkeyeSports.com.
That's right.
You can go to complete schedule. They'll show you a month-by-month schedule of everything that's going on. Also, this weekend, the Kinnick Play is at Hanshaw Auditorium.
That's right.
Has show times that are also announced at HawkeyeSports.com. I think the play is going on Monday through Sunday. Every single day, there's a show time. Labor Day, obviously, that means if you work, you get the day off.
Right.
So they work and they get the day off.
Yeah.
So they don't have a play on Monday, so don't expect to go. But huge weekend, the weekend after Labor Day weekend for Hawkeye Country and
That's
Hawkeye
right.
Sports. While the football team travels to Syracuse, we've got soccer has two games, volleyball's got three games, and they're all at home. Cross country, both men and women's have the Hawkeye Open. Men and women's golf start the weekend after Labor Day weekend.
Wow,
with the
big
men,
schedule.
With the men and women's Hawkeye Intercollegiate, if you will. And the field hockey team has two games.
So definitely getting right back into it. A huge home schedule there for the Hawkeye sports.
Yep.
And if they are away, I know for certain sports, I believe volleyball and soccer, you can go on to the Hawkeye Sports website and they have what they call Game Tracker, which pretty much is like watching the game on your computer without actually seeing any players. It's like live updates on what's going on.
Yep.
That's how Will and I stayed in contact with the soccer games over the weekend. So if you aren't able to get out or if there's an away game that you want to keep in touch with, that's definitely an option for you.
Easily. And once again, we'll run down the schedule for this upcoming weekend. On the 1st of September, field hockey plays at Grant Field at 3 p.m. The volleyball team's at Creighton all weekend. Their first match against North Dakota State's at 4:30 on Friday. You can check the website, HawkeyeSports.com, for updates on that. Saturday, the volleyball team's got a doubleheader. Jacksonville State's at 9:30 in the morning. Creighton's at 7 o'clock at night. Both matches played at Creighton. Once again, you can catch those on the website. The men and women's cross country teams are running and running fast against Western Illinois over in Macomb.
I wouldn't say fast, but at an incredibly high, steady pace.
Well, it is a long distance.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
But they still do run at a fast pace.
They do. They could definitely beat me in a sprint, probably.
Yeah, or long distance run.
Well, they'll kill me in a long distance.
So Sunday, once again, women's soccer. The soccer team plays Nebraska. Nebraska hosts the Iowa Hawkeyes over in Lincoln at 1 p.m. That's the Big Ten, Big 12 Challenge. Very big game for soccer. Also Sunday, field hockey. Iowa versus Duke, 1 p.m. A lot of ACC opponents on that field hockey team.
That's right. Throughout soccer and field hockey, we're definitely getting into that ACC stuff. And they have a pretty deep history with field hockey. Those have field hockey, lacrosse, those kind of sports. So
North Carolina's been a staple of soccer for a long time.
That's right. So formidable opponents. They should be incredibly decent matches for them.
They should be. So once again, that's the schedule for this upcoming weekend. I think to wrap things up, we have about 10 minutes to go here on the show. Let's talk a little bit. First, why don't you just give me what you thought the expectations were going to be heading into Carver Saturday night for the Iowa State game, and what you came out with.
I think definitely we heard from Mel that their expectations were to try and go
undefeated
in this the pre-conference season. So they weren't able to do that, but they were able to definitely. I want to emphasize the fact that this is nothing but a learning experience. If you can't learn from it, then it didn't do you any good. You might as well have not showed up. So I think that they should definitely be able to learn from that and notice when there are those points in time where you can just, you need to be able to say, all right, hold on. Let's stop. Let's think about this. This is our point. This is the time where
right.
we need to focus in and get it done. And if they're able to learn from that and take that into their experiences down the road, and they come into this situation again and be like, all right, we're up against the wall. What are we going to do? If they come back with their gloves on and come out fighting, then it was worth it. They talk about there's good losses and bad losses. If you can learn from it, some people think that there are no good losses. But I'm of the belief that sometimes there are. There has to be learning experiences, especially with some younger members on the team. So if they can learn from it, then it'll all come out all right.
And like Melanie mentioned, there are a lot of experienced players returning this year for the volleyball team. I really came into the game not expecting 1,690 people at the game.
Neither did
and,
I.
And it was packed, and it was a great environment. Sweating.
Yes.
Now, I know some people don't like to sweat. We were courtside, so...
Yeah. We could feel the heat.
You could feel the heat from the players' bodies.
Yeah.
Up a little bit higher is still hot, but you're not right down there on the court. But I loved the atmosphere. I loved being right there on top. That's what Hawkeye sports are all about. If you go to any of the venues for the Iowa Hawkeye athletics, everyone is on top of you.
Yeah.
And I really like that atmosphere. I like the way that former athletic director Bob Bowlesby really brought that into the Iowa athletic system.
Yep, and it's even at a different – it's a whole other level with volleyball. I mean, if from where we were sitting, if we really wanted to, we could have reached out and touched some of the players. When they came back to serve, they were right there, feet away from us. So
inches.
You can really – yeah, you can really – as a crowd, you can have a huge impact on the game if you're decent at your heckling skills and you know what to shout out. I mean, you can definitely get in their heads, and I think we did that for those first two games. We definitely got in their heads.
We did. I think the coaches at Iowa State definitely had to tell their players that they needed to tune that out and not listen to it. We were definitely in their heads, and I really enjoyed the environment. I didn't expect a whole lot going in, and I came away with a great experience. It's made me want to come back.
Oh, that's for sure.
And even if I don't sit down at the very, very, very courtside seats, I still want to sit and support the team.
That's right.
I think this is a team that, with support, could definitely go a long ways in home this year.
Oh, yeah.
They can upset some schools. And it should be fun to watch this team progress and learn to grow, and the freshmen just come into their own and find their roles.
Yeah, the environment is definitely set up that if we get a lot of people there, it can be a incredible home court advantage for us. So if we get those fans out and continue that attendance and keep it up there, then that can be an incredible advantage to those volleyball players at home.
I do want to point out this. The new athletic director was at the game last night.
Yeah, he was. We did see him.
Bob Bowlesby's probably been to maybe one or two volleyball games ever.
Mm-hmm. He was a very good supporter of small sports, but he wasn't necessarily always in attendance. He did a great job. I want to fight for Bowlesby here, that he did a great job to save a lot of our small sports. While Iowa State cut numerous small sports when there were cuts at the athletic levels, Bowlesby fought long and hard to make sure that we kept a lot of ours. So
yep.
Bowlesby wasn't in attendance like our new AD was, but he did fight for us. But yes, we did see him, and that's great to see our AD out there.
Lisa Bluter and her coaching staff were in attendance.
That's right.
Supporting another women's sport.
That's right.
Saturday.
That's right.
And Tony Freeman.
That's right.
Some basketball players dropped
by. That's right.
By.
I think we had Justin Johnson and
the new center.
The brand new center.
Don't really know his name.
Jason Johnson. He's fresh.
Yeah, he's fresh. He's not so fresh. If you know what Eric Hansen looks like, that's exactly what he looks like.
Yes.
And I'm not kidding.
So, yep, we definitely saw there's all kinds of people getting out there to support. I believe there's some men's and women's gymnastics people there. So, kudos to them for getting out
track,
and supporting.
Some track people were at
supporting the fellow Hawkeye athletics.
Big Dace Richardson sitting right next, right behind the net judge,
yep.
The net official. The head official, I guess, is what they call it. I just went through like three different things there to call him the net head official.
Yeah.
But... Big Dace Richardson, starting offensive tackle for Iowa Hawkeyes. He came out and supported. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that are playing men's athletics here at the University of Iowa coming out and checking out the volleyball games.
That's right.
And, you know, the students that go to these games are all about cheering. And that's what you have to realize. Last year, I know Ryan and I were part of the Hawk's Nest. And Ryan and I were one of two... Well, I don't want to say two because there were quite a bit of people that did make it to every game. But I wouldn't say any more than 50 to 75 kids made it to every game.
Oh, not even that many. I can remember getting the list. It was 10 or less. So there were very few people, and we were one of those few that made it to every single game.
I missed one. I missed the Wisconsin game, the last game, because I was in Vegas for my birthday. But I remember going to the first couple games, there's not a whole lot of people there.
No.
And then we started amassing this undefeated record, and people started showing up. I'm telling you, get on the bandwagon now.
Yes, yes. This volleyball team could really get some things rolling. And field hockey and soccer. These teams are struggling early, but these are incredibly good opponents. And if we can get on the bandwagon now and get those home court advantages going, then that's something to be said. I mean, basketball's already, what are we at, 19 games for a home court winning streak? That's amazing. Amazing,
yep.
Something like that. So if we can get that going for these smaller sports and get that support out there, that's something that they can really hold on to for the rest of their careers and know that, you know, when it came down to our home field, that we protected it and we came out and showed what we were all about.
And then we can start, and I say start getting mentioned for the Presidential Cup, which goes to the university, the best athletic university in the whole entire nation. And Stanford's won 11 of those.
Yeah. I think Texas is always up there.
Yep.
UNC, Duke are usually up there. But
because they
Stanford
have good men,
is,
women's, and small sports programs.
The small sports is really what does it. It doesn't matter really how well. If you do decent in football, you'll place all right. But if you don't have all those small sports to bring up your rankings, you're never going to place well. It's all about placing well in baseball, in volleyball, in all those cross country, swimming, etc. All the sports you have to place well to
yep.
do well. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean the ultimate goal of this show would be to win one of those, but I don't think we can do that so single handedly. We got to help.
You never know. We could single handedly win the Presidential Cup for them.
Wow, that would be good for us.
I'd be happy.
Yeah,
if we single handedly could do that. So. Once again, we're going to end the show here relatively soon before we get to last comments. If you have anything for us, please email us at fromthecheapseats, all one word, at gmail.com. FromTheCheap.
You forgot the. So it's FromThe.
Thank you.
CHEAP. SEATS. At symbol. GM. AIL.com.
Yes. So go ahead and do that.
Yep. Definitely shoot us an email. It doesn't matter what it's about. Just give us an email. Give us a shout out. Let us know you're listening.
Yep. And we've got two different websites that you can listen to us from. The KRUI website.
That's right. If you're away from a radio but have an internet connection, you could definitely check us out. There's a live feed on the KRUI website. That's www.uiowa.edu/tilde.
Tilde.
And Will loves that word. Tilde, K-R-U-I. And you can listen to us there if you're if it's Monday at noon and you're away from a radio, but definitely have an internet connection, you could do that. Or you could definitely check us out. Every show we post, after we're done, we post it on the website. And you could check our website out. That's KRUICheapseats.blogspot.com. For those of you who have iPods, you can we are broadcasting our podcast, so you could definitely get hooked up on that. That way you don't even have to go to the website every week. It'll just automatically come to you. So check out our website. We have the podcast up. You can download every episode after we're done. So you can listen to it on your time if that's what you want. So check out that website. If you have any problems, shoot us an email. We've said that plenty. So if you haven't written that down by now, shame on you.
45 seconds left to go on the show and you haven't heard us say our email address, then you need to, listen some more. Tune in Monday, every Monday, 12 to 1. Ryan and I bring you the best in small sports. For Ryan Wallace, I'm Will Marchneau. You just listened to the second edition of From the Cheap Seats.